Hello and welcome to Beat Cafe. I'm David Johnson, editor at Offbeat Magazine. This show is sponsored by Offbeat and larger support for WHIV 102.3 FM. You can visit us at offbeat.com and view our new digital issue where we're celebrating Mardi Gras with the Monogram Hunters Mardi Gras Indians, interviews with Alinda Segarra, Corey Ledet, recipes from New Orleans musicians for Mardi Gras, reviews, updated live music listings, original videos and photos with your subscription at offbeat.com and on social media at Offbeat Magazine. And I'm thrilled today to welcome one of New Orleans' most renowned vocalists, Tariana Tank Ball, who of course performs with Tank and the Bangas. And we'll be discussing all sorts of aspects related to her music career. So welcome, Tank. So happy to have you here today.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Great, great. You know, before the show, I did a little advanced research, went back and looked at coverage that Offbeat had of you. Went back to 2017 when you, Tank and the Bangas, of course, appeared on NPR's Tiny Desk Concert. And, you know, I read that out of 6,000 acts on NPR's Tiny Desk Concert contest, 10 judges selected you and your band, of course, as the unanimous winners. And I was so impressed by the comments from the judges. Fish guitarist Trey Anastasio said, "Tank and the Bangas is like a psychedelic joy rap explosion, like a female Sly Stone teleporting into 2017 and landing in New Orleans." And then Rita Houston of the radio station WFUV followed up and said, "There is star power all over this. From the flawless, soulful vocals to the ensemble camaraderie to the playful presence of Tank, this one is going to bring a lot of joy to music fans everywhere." And I would say that's very prophetic because in the 5 years since, of course, a lot has happened. You were nominated for a Grammy in 2020. You won the Best of the Beat Award for New Artist from Offbeat Magazine. You've also published a book of poetry and some new albums. So let's start kind of way back at the beginning. What was your introduction to music? When did you begin?
Wow, when did I begin? Woo, we're going to go back. Then I probably would have to go back to church. Like everybody probably in this band at some point had to do. Just singing in the choir. Can't wait to get the adult purple robe, you know. And before that, the Disney Channel. And even before church, honestly, I think my dad was a singer. And he loved to sing. And he made my sister sing all over grocery stores, anywhere that they could, and he would do gong shows. So I think the love came very early, but I didn't feel very good at it for a long time. Like not as good as my sisters. So I had to work at it.
When you say work at it, in what capacity were you? Like, I know you said you obviously were singing at church. Did you also sing in your school choir?
I sung in all the school choirs from elementary to middle school to high school. It's even when Katrina happened and I went to Indianapolis, I always found the choir because the choir was to me just where, you know, that was my people. So I always found a choir.
Gotcha. Now, I'm curious, you also, in addition to singing, obviously, have had a career in poetry and publishing. A lot of your work, your musical work, is also spoken word. I'm curious to know what drew you to that as a writer, not necessarily just a singer, but a writer.
Reading my sister's poetry books, going through her drawers, being a little annoying sis, going through all her stuff without her permission, reading her poetry and falling in love with it early. And then I remember when I decided that I wanted to pursue music more, I thought, I don't have no songs. You know, I don't have no songs I've written. And then something hit me. I was like, well, isn't all music just lyrics without a melody? And that's when I had the brilliant idea to turn my poetry into the songs. And I was like, oh, you know, and make a melodies. That's what happened.
So were there any poets in particular that you found inspiring that you were reading over time?
Yes, a lot from New Orleans, Sonny Patterson and Asia Rainey and the group I was with, Team Snow, which had poets like Chicondria Icon Sibley, Akeem Martin, Michael Questmore, Brandon Brewington, just poets that was in this our very own community that were just, you know, just affecting my life in such a positive way. I love that I came from the poetry world of New Orleans, because that was such a positive world for me. They just was always so encouraging of me.
So I'm curious, did you find poetry to be something that just kind of naturally spilled out on the page? Did you struggle in any way to convey your thoughts, or, you know, what was your creative impulse, I suppose?
Well, my first time reading was at my grandparents' 50th wedding anniversary. My cousin Alexia gave me a poem called A Great Somebody by Adrian Hardesty. And I practiced this poem every night. And then when it got time to do it at the 50th wedding anniversary, I screwed it up. I screwed it up big time. I kept forgetting it. But my grandmother, she saw something special in me. And so I began to recite the poem everywhere my grandfather would preach at, Reverend Bradford. And before you knew it, I became super confident in my speaking and the way I presented myself. So the confidence started coming as I performed more and more for my grandfather.
So I'm curious now, did you meet your band members through the spoken word poetry scene here in New Orleans?
Well, sort of. And I say sort of because one of the first members of the Black Star Bangers was a guitar player named Amari. And I met him at the poetry club. And he told me that I should start coming to another club that did poetry, music, anything you wanted. You was able to get up on that stage and just do your thing. Took me a while to go to that club. And once I finally did, I never left. And that was called Black Star Books and Cafe. And the night that he spoke of me coming to was called Liberation Lounge on a Sunday night. And that's where I met the Bangers.
And when you say the Bangers, was that, that's a group you obviously came up with the name for. I assume they had not pre-existed. Did you, you all were a brand new band. Is that correct?
No, they did pre-exist. The place was called Black Star Books and Cafe, and the house band there was called the Black Star Bangers, which was Jared Nation Savoir and Amari Johnson, the guitar player who convinced me to go there in the first place. They were a guitar player and a bass player. And soon Joshua came there and just to play, because he was my best friend, who was the manager of Tank and the Bangers, Tavia's friend. Her mom did his hair. This guy's such a long story. And Norman Spence was coming all the way from Baltimore to play with Tanya Boy Cannon at Black Star Books and Cafe. So we just started jamming out. And before you know it, we jammed out a lot. We decided to kind of take the thing on the road and call ourselves the Liberated Soul Collective. And that was myself, Nate Cameron, Elliot Love, and sometimes Sybil Chanel. And we would get up there and do our thing, you know. So after a while, everybody kind of left and I was left with the band. And that was the first year we got Jazz Fest. And the name was so long, Tariana Tank Ball and the Black Star Bangers. And I was like, I'm just going to shorten it to Tank and the Bangers. And I didn't even like the name.
So now, had you already had the nickname Tank, or how did that come about?
Yeah, Tank is a family nickname given by my dad.
And for any purpose or reason?
I don't know. I don't know why he gave me that name, but he passed away before I could honestly find out. But I just know I was Tank, his stank baby.
That's great.
But it kind of goes, you know, like a tank and a banger, like, you know, a tank bangs. And it made sense in the end. So I'm grateful for that.
Yeah.
I like the name.
Very memorable band name. It's something that really does stick in your mind. You know, like I said earlier, whenever the judges were kind of describing you and the sound of your band, it is kind of genre defying in many ways because your music does span so many styles. I recently saw you within the past few weeks performing with the Louisiana Philharmonic, where you managed to combine hip hop, rap, spoken word with, of course, a classical band as your backup, you know, so to speak. How would you define Tank and the Bangers sound if you were to, you know, try to put down a dictionary definition of it?
Oh, my goodness. I honestly wouldn't. And I'm in the band. I wouldn't. It's very genre bending and very eclectic, genre fluid, you know, as some people like to say when they describe their, you know, their personal life choices. You know, it's genre fluid, mm-hmm. And it can go anywhere and it can do anything. And because it's full of so many people with so many different backgrounds of music and musical influence, it really goes a lot of places. Like our next single will sound nothing like No ID, you know, and No ID will sound nothing like Big. And that's also the brilliance of just having these musicians behind me, and also just being my own self, who has a lot of different parts that I tap into and a lot of parts that I haven't even tapped into. That's how you get all of this, to me, honestly, very creative music.
Indeed. Well, we're going to take a short break and pause for the cause, and we'll be back momentarily with Tarianna Tank Ball.
All New Orleans, all the time, 24/7, WHIV 102.3 FM, New Orleans.
And we're back with Tarianna Tank Ball, discussing music and poetry. Tank recently had her debut book of poetry published, and I know you've been on a book tour in the past year. The title of the book is Vulnerable AF. I don't think we need a definition for AF. We all know that, of course, here on Family Radio. Tanks, so before I'm gonna have you, of course, read a selection from your book, but I'm curious, you know, you've been on tour, of course, as a musician. What was it like to go on tour as a writer, you know, to show up in bookstores? What was that experience like?
I loved it. Every day I thought nobody was coming and I was wrong, you know, every time. And it was just the most peaceful tour ever. You know, the sound checks were short and I was able to take my time with my poems. And, you know, there wasn't a dry eye in the house every night. It was so personal. And it honestly helped me get over the relationship that I had been carrying around so long. I loved that tour so much. It was very special to me. I think it's good for somebody like me to go out on tour every couple of years alone with my poetry, because it was my first love.
And the book of poetry was written, like you said, inspired by a previous relationship, correct?
Right.
So let's hear you read one of your poems and give us the title. And after you read it, just perhaps give us a little bit of background on how this one came to be.
This is Sudden Truth. If I open my chest, tear the flesh, break the bone, untangle the blood vessels, dismantle the rib cage, and pull out the beat from the heart, I am positive that I will find your name buried under the deep tissue of my heart. I have no clue why the feelings hold on to something so dead. My pride has been wrangling my rib cage to get to the heart, to shake it, to wake it the F up. I don't know if this will be the last poem I write about you, but it will feel good when I look at it and laugh, to know that the feelings that I once had are nothing but words on a sheet of paper.
Wow, that's quite powerful. And again, how did that kind of spill out of your mind onto the page?
There was just a point where I was just feeling so many feelings that I've never felt for anybody before, that I just had to get it out of my head, because I just thought about this guy so much. I dreamt about him, and I never thought, let me write these down so that I can publish it later on. You know, it never was like that. As a matter of fact, I held on to this for some years, and I finally actually put it out last year. So I just was feeling a lot, and I just couldn't wait for the moment when it comes down to that particular poem, just for those feelings to be done with. You know, I didn't want to feel that way no more. I looked forward to the day that it was just words on a sheet of paper and not just a repeated moment of my life that I was constantly living, which was falling in and out of love just constantly.
And how did the book project come to be? Obviously, you had all of these poems. Were you approached by a publisher, or did it come through your contacts with the music industry?
Best friend and manager, Tavia, just made sure that it happened. You know, the moment that I felt comfortable with putting it out, she got right on making sure that it was. And it's with Andrews McNeil Publishing, and they're very patient. They take their time, and they specialize in poetry books. And I just feel so honored to be a part of, you know, some of their roster. It's really special.
That's great. You know, back to music, of course. I know you have on occasion described some of your vocal sound as childlike and magical. And you do have this amazing ability to kind of transport your vocal range. But I'm really curious about that aspect of your music. When you go into that childlike mode, how would you describe that? How did it come to be?
Just doing it. It just feels natural. You know, I play with my dolls a long time, and it just comes out. Like, in my mind, I'm like, it's time to do it like this now, you know, or sometimes it can be just as thoughtful as it's easier for me to reach this note in this particular voice. And sometimes it's, you know, this song calls for this particular character of voice. And sometimes it calls for it to be deep. Like Nina Simone said, you know, my voice is like gravel. You know, I feel like mine is like, or she said coffee. And I feel like my voice is like warm coffee and a cup of Kool-Aid. See, all of these things. And I love it. I love how much range it has. I'm so happy that my sister played her Barbie dolls with me so long. She let me play with her.
Yes, I know you're one of the women you've collaborated with. Angelica Jolie Joseph has also described the music as soulful Disney. Do you think that applies?
I could give it that. It could definitely have that as well, for sure.
So how would you say the band interacts with each other? Where do you all complement each other in your sound?
Just the freedom, you know, and how they play, and you know how they just respect each other's genius, you know, and contributions to what this is, and also respecting Joshua's leadership as MD. It's definitely grown over the years so many ways. It's even the reason why we change our music up so much, because I think we all get tired around the same time of a song. You know, we'll say, we've been doing it like this so long, it's time to do it a different way. And nobody ever says, it's not time. You know, nobody ever says that, you know. It's good that we all, a lot of the times, are on the same page when it comes down to the stage show.
Now, your first album was Random Me. And what year was that recorded, and how did that come to be?
It was recorded so long ago. I don't know the years. I never know the years of anything, though. But that was what I did alone. I was with Gus Bennett, who is a photographer in New Orleans. He was doing some work with the DJ Raj Smooth for Courtney Hart. And they did a swap. And he was like, Raj was like, well, how much for these, you know, pictures for Courtney? And then Gus said, just make sure Tariana Ball gets in the studio. And that honestly began a big part of my musical career. I went in there and I recorded a poetry album, and I did little mouth sounds. And then when I finally got with the band, they put music to a lot of my songs. And then we recorded Think Tank as a Tank and the Bangers together.
So we're going to listen to one of your songs now. It is titled No ID. Give us a little background on that song before we play it here on the air.
Oh, I love that song. That's one of the latest singles. And it's basically telling, you know, I'm talking to the ladies on here, but I guess you could talk to everybody, because everybody need, it's basically saying that before you invite somebody into your life, you know, check their status, see what's going on with them. You know, let me get some ID. And when I say ID, it's basically, I want to get to know you before, you know, we go to the next level. Before you let anybody into your life, just get to know them, because, you know, you're worth getting to know. It's No ID. This is from our new album that's not out yet, that's coming out. This is from Red Balloon.
Very good. And here we'll go with No ID.
You have been knocking, but I won't let you in. You read the sign before, you can't come in. You cannot browse my house, I'm not open. And furthermore, you need to show. Who is this stranger? Who is this mystery man? You ain't no neighbor, you ain't no friend. You are not welcomed inside, you cannot sit in. And furthermore, you need to show.
If you wanna see inside of me, I'ma need to see your ID.
Between my knees, I grab the things from out my store. But you're so dumb, you better know. You'd rather steal and take what others work for. But I'm the only store that got what you need. But you gon' have to work for these groceries.
Hanging on the block, why not come inside? I bet so on the low, I know you got five. I know you won't ride the easy way down, but working for the first, you will get the beehive. Flexy with the Jesus piece, you're real freak. You about to freeze my knees, you real drink. With your mink cylinders with a wink, your breast tank, baby. 50 feet, where's your fucking ID?
If you wanna see inside of me, I'ma need to see your ID.
Cause if we gon' go deeper, I'ma need to see what's beneath the
Well, that was great. We really appreciated hearing No ID. And of course, those sage words from Tank about whenever you're approaching a new relationship to make sure you know who you're with. Tank, you know, I have always considered you not just a icon as a singer, but very much a fashion icon. Your stage presence is very distinct. Your clothing, your hairstyle, all of that. I'm curious to know how you have developed this distinct style that is Tariana Tank Ball.
Oh, thank you. I think it came from going into the thrift stores and trying to develop my own style. I mean, when I first went into my first thrift store, my sister, she picked out a bunch of big ties for me and male shirts, you know, and I had a haircut, a male lining. Oh, my mom definitely thought I was going through some changes. But I was not. The only change I was going through was trying to find myself through clothes. And I just became more and more comfortable doing that and discovering really cool old clothes and new clothes and putting them together, you know, not having a lot of money. And it's also so cool because, you know, at these thrift stores, there's not two of nothing. So if you find an outfit, you know that it's special and no one else will have it on.
Indeed. That's great. And your hair, like I said, every time I've seen you in performance, your hair is a new creation. How do you go about that? And does you work with a particular stylist?
Oh, yeah. Well, I've always loved doing creative stuff with my hair. I remember the first time I went by my sister's house so she could do my hair, and I bought her some type of hair she just didn't know how to work with. And she was like, I don't deal with that type of hair. So I had to do it myself. And after that, I just started working with my manager's mom, which is Miss B, which is Brenda Jones, who's a master stylist. I mean, we've gone through trash bags of weaves and created the most amazing reusable styles. And I can't wait because soon she's going to be making special big art pieces along with to complement my first book. So it's going to be pretty amazing. I haven't even seen none of the pieces, and it's going to be at the Opera House.
Marini Opera House?
Marini Opera House. Yeah, it's going to be there, I believe, February 20th.
This is an art show or a performance?
It's a hair show just for the book, and I'm going to also perform poems from from my book and along with the hair show.
Very good. So you say February 20th.
Yeah, and there's you could get tickets at the door and tickets on Miss B's website too. So I would love for everybody to come to that. She's been working really hard, and I know it's gonna be special. She's pretty freaking amazing. She's like a jewel in the city that I feel like only I utilize.
Great. It'll be great publicity for both of you, of course. I know on February 19th, you're going to be among the acts at Shorty Gras, the big carnival blowout that's going to take place at Mardi Gras World that will also feature Trombone Shorty and Orleans Avenue, Big Freedia, Manny Fresh. Obviously, you grew up in New Orleans. Can you share some of your Mardi Gras memories?
Get lost every goddamn year. Every year. I would get lost. I would be in a trance following a float, and I would get lost every year, and I would be scared. I just hated, oh my God, I hated getting lost so much, but it felt so good once my mama found me.
She felt good too.
My Lord, it felt so good. Everybody knew Tank would get lost every damn year. That's because in such a trance, the flow, throw me some mister, you know, and before you know it, you're looking around and you don't see your family nowhere. That was a story of my life, every Mardi Gras. And I remember waking up really early with our blankets and finding us a good spot, and you know how lucky you felt when you caught a coconut for Zulu. And I remember seeing my sister dance. She was a dancing, she was one of the on the dance team at Sarah T. Reed. I remember seeing her dance to Stevie Wonder, "Isn't She Lovely?" And I was like, man, my sister is so cool. Besides getting lost every year, nothing but great memories from Mardi Gras.
Indeed. And do you still go out and celebrate? I don't assume you get lost anymore, but is it still as special now as it was?
Hey, baby, I'm not going. I ain't getting lost nowhere. yeah. But I still don't have a great sense of direction, even after all of these years. You know, I don't get the big blanket out like you used to when you was a kid. Mardi Gras doesn't feel exactly how I used to when I was a kid, but I love how everybody wears more costume and it's such a festival, just carnival time. You feel it more as an adult. I like the feeling of it. I like finding the colors and putting me a little outfit together. You know, I love all of that.
Very good. And again, we're going to take a brief break and we'll be back momentarily with Tariona Tankball.
From the Lower Nine to Uptown, Mid-City to the West Bank, we've got you covered, New Orleans. WHIV 102.3 FM.
All right, welcome back. We're here at Beat Cafe, the weekly program sponsored by Offbeat Magazine, and I am thrilled to again be talking with Tariona Tankball. And Tank, I'm curious about the role of improvisation in your music. A lot of times when I think we listen to it, it sounds very free-flowing in many ways. Is that the case? I mean, do you use that much in your music?
The only time that I'm probably honestly like going off of just the rip is if there's a moment where the music is just playing and it's beautiful and we have a moment and, you know, Josh would be like, do a poem, Tank. And I'm like, okay. But other than that, we practice a lot. And before it was extremely like flowy and do what you wanna. As to do your thing, you wanna make sure that everything that you do is purposeful. So like it's practice. Everything is practice. And when I get up there and I feel spiritually led, if you practice enough, you have the freedom to go off the rip because you know exactly where this is about to land at. So I don't know if you understand that, but it's basically structured freedom.
Very interesting way to put it. I can definitely see that, you know, at work in your music. You know, like I said, you recently played with the Louisiana Philharmonic, which was such a unique combination. You had performed with them as well the year prior. Was this your second time or has this happened a few times?
This was my third time with them, but the second time with the band.
And what is that collaboration like? I'm curious to know. I mean, how do you practice for something like that?
Oh, man, it's fun. I know for a while we go back and forth on the arrangements before we ever meet the orchestra to make sure that that the composer and us are happy with, you know, how everything is coming along and if we want little changes. And then we finally get with the orchestra. Everything is already written out for the orchestra. And we just practice like we're like literally at rehearsal. Only difference is they have their music right in front of them and ours have to be, you know, in our heads and hearts.
Exactly. Now, who else have you collaborated with that's really made a really memorable impact on you?
Oh, Lord, so many. Baltimore's orchestra as well. And we've done New Deco, which was really special, too, because they had the earphones on. Everybody had to have earphones on. So it was kind of like a silent orchestra. And it was just the sound was like being in space and heaven. That's how good it was in your ears. It was just impossible. And for this new album, Layla Hathaway and Questlove, DJ Soul Sisters on this album, and Wayne Brady, and Jacob Collier, Georgia Ann Muldrow. I always feel like I'm forgetting some people, but that's a lot right there just to think about collaborations. And Nora Jones, she's not on the album, but that's someone I've collaborated with that I love and had a great time with. And Mickey Hart is someone I've collaborated. Been amazing to be on his project. Terrence Blanchard, his latest work with Regina King's first directorial review, One Night in Miami on that soundtrack. And
you're really racking up a lot of names, obviously, and many more to come, no doubt.
I'm a big fan of PJ Martin.
And of course, he was on stage as well with the Philharmonic. It was really an outstanding concert. So let's go back to 2020. What did it feel like when you heard you had a Grammy nomination?
I was kind of like, what? In what category? I think that's the things that came in my head first. Like, what? In what category?
And how did you find out? How was the news presented to you?
I think Tabia told me.
And of course, 2020, you know, was a difficult year in the music business in general, a difficult year for all of us, with the pandemic, of course, wreaking havoc on all of our lives. As a musician, how did you cope with that time and place, especially since you could no longer really be on stage before an audience?
Lots of Zooms. Oh my God, I hated Zoom. But I was, that Zoom, like, you know, kept us going. You know, we did a lot of private shows. When we did any lives, our fans, they would donate to us. And since we were a band that was on the road so much, I think we all in some type of way appreciated the time off. You know, we live a pretty spontaneous, big life, and you never realize what type of life you're living until you like take a break from it. You never realize that your knee hasn't stopped hurting in 3 years. You don't realize that you don't ever sleep in your own bed, that you are living in a van and in a suitcase, and you are from city to city, and you rarely see your family. You just don't realize what type of life that you're living, because you're always in and out. You're just doing your thing. You got to do it. But when someone actually sits you down, you start to think, and you're like, wow, this is an interesting life that I've chosen for myself, and I appreciate this break that I didn't know that I needed.
Of course, that was 1 year. Now, when it stretches into 2 years,
I got a little scared. I went, well, hold up now. All right. Now that break is done.
Right. But of course, you had your poetry book come out. Well, let's listen to another song, and this one is titled Big, and I know you recorded this with Big Frida, and I would encourage everybody to watch the video for this. We'll also post it at offbeat.com when this podcast gets live. Tell me about that song and how that came to be and recording with Big Frida.
That song was actually supposed to be a song for kids. We get a lot of opportunities to like do songs for kids too. And they just, they didn't go in that direction. So when one of the producers on the album came in town, which was Peter Cottontail from Chicago, he and the guys got together and he played a beat and they had a song. We had a song like this kid's song that went with his beat. And they just started creating it after that. And you know, of course, when you're sitting down thinking about who would sound, you know, great on it to bring it alive, where it's like, oh, Frida would be great. And it's awesome working in the studio with Frida, because anytime Frida do anything, it vibrates the place. Like, whoa, the place vibrates like the damn instrument starts shaking. You be like, Lord, this is strong. This is strong right here. And the video was so much fun to do. Oh my goodness. Fat Happy Media are so cool. And we are really lucky to have them locally in town produce such quality videos for us artists. It's dope. It was fun.
So that was filmed here in New Orleans then?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's incredibly creative. All right. So let's give a listen to Big with Tank and Big Frida.
Oh, let's go!
Big mouth, big fans, big house. Everything I do is big. Chillin' that Big Frida house. All I drop is big. Toilet boys will clean me out. I pull up in that black thing. I do what say I roll out. Big bang, big bang, 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 shots out. All of y'all can eat this up like level book on lookout. Making pretty from the south. Money chasing the clout. Settle down, children, before I bring my pedal out.
I got the juice to make the girls want to move. I got the juice to make the girls want to move.
You know how the story goes. I am about to talk about carry on the balls, big balls, cause they ball. I am about chase for big weight. I'm sniffing all you out. You see hammer time. I'm about to bring the hammer out. Everybody get up in a circle, take it, we go. This the type of feet that like it needs. Baby fat and fatty jeans, baby face no lace out. Baby makes my lace out, don't they? Them credit cards, it's maxed out. We get a black and change the drop is effortless. No comparison. The feeling it, I'm moving up like the Jefferson.
I got the juice to make the girls want to move. I got the juice to make the girls want to move. I got the juice to make the girls want to move.
I got the juice to make the girls want to move.
Bodies on the floor, percolating to the floor. Get loose, sweaty boots, now you're having fun. Bodies on the floor.
And we're back. Welcome again to Beat Cafe, sponsored by Offbeat Magazine. And I'm speaking with Tariona Tank Ball of Tank and the Bangas. And Tank, you've obviously been in the music business more than just a few years, but you certainly have not reached the long veteran status of the music business. But if you were talking to someone who wanted to emerge in the industry right now, and you know, you've learned a few lessons along the way, I'm sure, what would you tell them?
Oh man, there's so many little bitty things to know. First, I would definitely encourage them, just be a student of it and study and ask as many questions as you can and Google, you know, let Google be your friend. And if you're a singer like me, it'd be great for you to know what these musicians know, because besides singing, the musical realm of it is just so much different to know what you're singing and what you're doing. You know, I wish that I knew much more early on. In that respect of things. It's also great to have somebody that believes in you, people that believe in you around you. And people should know that it's going to be a while before you probably see some type of profit from it, unless you want some TikTok thing. So don't get into it for that at all, because it'll probably be a while before you see before it supports you. It'd be great to find a nice, just to send your affirmations about yourself and what you want for yourself. Will be great, and writing it down. And then when you see it begin to happen, you'll realize how special your words and what you want for yourself and how you put it out there and how it happens for you. That's incredible. You could say feel like it's the most impossible things, but it'll come for you if you ask for it and if you work for it. And then it'll be in your hands and you'll be like, I can't believe I'm in a studio. I don't know what Sheila E. and Layla Hathaway, like I was, you know, I'm just waiting to meet Stevie Wonder, which I will.
I'm sure. That would be amazing.
just be ready for it, because it's coming.
Indeed. I have no doubt. So we're speaking about some of your upcoming performances. We mentioned you're going to be at Shorty Gras on Saturday, February 19th. That'll be at Mardi Gras World. And of course, we'll have this listed at offbeat.com. Folks can check it out there to purchase tickets. 24th, leading up to Mardi Gras, you'll be at Tipitina's with Tank and the Bangas. And then we also mentioned the special hairstylist show that will be at the Marigny Opera House on February 20th. So plenty of opportunities to see you. I recommend going to all three. The opportunities there. The energy levels there. Of course, you obviously, poetry means a great deal to you. How often do you devote time to write poetry, especially when you are busy? You know, like you said, on tour, recording studio visits. When do you find time to write poetry, and how often is that an expression for you?
It's definitely not something I force, not these days. You know, before when I used to slam, it used to feel like, gotta have a fresh poem, gotta have a hot, you know, dope poem for the crowd to hear. I gotta have something new. And you know, it's not like that. It's a much more natural relationship now. And when she comes to me, you know, I just listen and I just write, you know, just all the time, mostly on the road. You know, when you just have nothing but road in front of you and nothing to do, that's when it hits me a lot. So that when it comes down to going in the studio, I have content, I have things already, because I've been writing along the way. It's always good to write down what you're going through, because it could be your next Audie.
yes. And of course, perhaps mentioned earlier that your book, Audible version of Vulnerable AF, is up for an Audie Award. When did you find out about that?
I found out about that like maybe a week ago.
And was that again through Tavia, your manager?
It was through Andrews McNeil Publishing. They sent me an email and let me know, in a category with Barack Obama and Katie Couric and two or three other people. So I'm in great company for sure.
I would say so. Well, again, congratulations. And we'll look forward to hearing more about that when that ceremony rolls around. Another, I think, aspect of your music, at least that strikes me when I'm in your presence and you're on stage, is this tremendous positivity. There's just something that feels so good about your music. Of course, those dealt with internal struggle as well. Where does that come from? Where's that joy that's really in so much of music? Where is that rooted?
Maybe church. It's just so much better to be positive. You know, maybe even from a young time, you know, I hated to even see anybody get picked on. I hated if I ever was, you know, was picked on. And I just, you know, to be a a light is dope, and to have music that encourages people when they're in such spaces in their life is dope. You know, it's cool to be that person in somebody's life and make that type of music. And they have so much already of the other kind. It's ridiculous. It's just natural. And I'm around people that want to naturally make music like that too.
Growing up, did you go to many second line parades? Was that a part of your experience?
No, it wasn't actually. I was definitely in church. It's Super Sunday happened a lot on Sunday, and we was definitely in church, and at the church we was together, you know, doing our own type of fellowship. And I wish that I was, though. It makes me feel like I missed such a big part of the culture to not just be at the second lines constantly.
Yes, yes. That's, well, I would say you obviously capture that joy. You know, again, it is so much a part of our city's scene. Do you find that writing poetry or writing songs is a very different act, or something that kind of one naturally flows into the other?
It can be both, because a lot of the songs are poems, but it's easier to write a poem to me than to like finish a song, because songs have melodies and they have hooks, and sometimes, you know, all my words, they don't fit into the melody. So when I'm speaking or writing my poem, it's so much easier. But also when I'm writing, it just has to also just make so much sense. So it really depends on what I'm writing. Sometimes the poem is easier, sometimes the song is easier. It's really about what I'm writing about at the time.
All right, and we're going to take one more pause for the cause here at WHIV 102.3, and we'll return to wrap up our conversation with Tariona Tankball.
The vibe of the city for human rights and social justice, WHIV 102.3 FM.
And we're back with Tariona Tankball of Tank and the Bangas. And Tank, earlier you mentioned that you've had opportunities, obviously, to make children's music. That's not a side of your work that I'm overly familiar with, but tell me more about that.
Dope. I'm working on something right now where I do voiceover work for it and write music for shows. It's just been really, 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 really fun. I've always wanted to do it. And, you know, like one of my dreams is to be a voice for a Disney princess, you know, or a Disney character. I would love to do that. And I'm definitely in the right realm for it. I'm surprisingly really good at it. I'm definitely a natural.
I would agree. Was there a particular Disney character that you really loved or adored growing up?
So many. Not even one in particular. I loved Pocahontas. I loved Mulan. Yeah, I think those are like my favorite princess, I think. The songs were just so damn good. So I've just been a fan for years. And I'm just, and even when I do the work, you know, they just compliment me so much because I'm such a natural at it. It's because I played with those Barbie dolls so long.
Do you visit the Disney parks very often? Is that something that you do?
I've gone to Disney World and Disneyland. I don't just be going all the time, though. You know, I don't have time for that. But I've been, even with the band, we've gone to Disney in Paris, and that was a lot of fun.
So tell me about touring. Obviously, that's a big part of your life. How do you keep your good spirits going during that? Is it always a good experience, or how would you describe the touring life?
I think it's good, even better, you know, in the last couple of years, because we just have more people on staff to help us, you know, get the sound. That's definitely been easier, because sound checks, that's the thing that's the most annoying, or waking up and all you see is KFC or a gas station, a Subway, you know, that's your only choices. You know, you start out eating healthy, then before you know it, that Hershey's with almond be calling you, and then them Hot Flamin' Cheetos start calling too, and then it's over from there. It's over after that.
Indeed. And I guess no opportunity to really do any cooking, of course, while you're out on the road. Certainly no.
Every now and then we get an Airbnb so that we can wash our clothes. And I love those moments. I like when we get the Airbnb and get to wash and stuff, and we get to cook.
Tank, one thing I noticed on social media is you have taken great advantage of that. And you've got a lot of followers posting really fun, catchy, clever things that go viral. How has that emerged as part of your marketing?
Well, I don't personally feel that amazingly savvy as you think I am on the internet. I just have always liked to post pictures. I've liked that before before the internet became cool. You know, I used to like it when I was in high school and I had nothing to post. I just liked pictures and stuff. So Instagram was just a perfect place for somebody like me who liked pictures. And recently I've been obsessed with TikTok, but not in a way where I post, just in a way where I watch everybody else post. It's a funny app and it's a lot. And I recommend nobody to get on it because it will take up your time. Only go on there when you're on a toilet. Don't just do it because before you know it, you spent the hour just playing with your thumb, scrolling up and down. So yeah, don't get on it.
I think that's true. We can actually all get kind of sore thumbs, you know, looking at those videos, and they are addictive. So tell me about this new album. It's Red Balloon and it's coming out in May. What can we expect when that hits our ears?
Wow. I could definitely tell people to expect the unexpected. It's not going to be as kiddie as, you know, once was. We knew that we wanted this one to be different and just a little more passion and introspective from my years of working together and relationships as from a personal writing aspect. It's just much more mature and it's extremely musical. It's not as many beats as, you know, once before when we were being explorative with beats, you know. This time is just, we're in Earth, Wind & Fire studio in California, and we are just pumping it out. We are experimenting with other musicians. We are having just the most fun time just finding ourselves at that particular time in our lives in the studio, which is always an explorative time to be in a studio. We all really love this album and we can't wait for everybody to hear it. I mean, you heard some of the people that's on it. It's just absolutely amazing.
Well, congratulations again. And it has been such a pleasure speaking with you today. And again, to all of our listeners, there's plenty of opportunities to see Tank and the Bangas in the days ahead as we all free fall into Mardi Gras. And of course, there will be opportunities thereafter. Also, you can purchase Tank's book, Vulnerable AF, at any of your favorite booksellers. And we will be paying close attention to the Audi Awards when those are announced. I hope President Obama is calling you to say congratulations.
That sounds great. Thank you.
We covered a lot of ground and you are really a fascinating person to talk with. Again, thank you all for tuning in to Beat Cafe today. And we will be back here again next Wednesday at 9 a.m. Please visit offbeat.com for more information and to listen to this broadcast again as a podcast. I'm David Johnson. Thanks again, Tank. I'm going to let you enjoy the rest of your day, but we'll see you soon.
Thank you, David.
Bye.
Lines don't flow like they're supposed to. I wake up late sometimes. I would have left my mind if it wasn't screwed on like it's supposed to. I'm really contemplating just laying here. I could avoid the traffic. I could just grow the netty. My baby says that I shouldn't go nowhere, but my flight is waiting. Here I am still debating. I always seem to forget something I left in the bag, and now it's in the trash, and I'm already short. TSA keeps taking my shit.
My emotions, my perfume, body mist, gel, itch control, cologne, pocket knife, lot of hair products, all it, you know, like all it, like.
TSA keeps taking my shit. Body stop me, cause somebody.
See, I'm really bugging, man, these cats be fronting. Say I'm really fronting, man, these cats be bugging.
Just took my cologne. I just bought this new bottle and now it's all gone. What do you think I'm gonna do with it anyway? Spray, spray you to death. Would you just give me a break? Didn't wanna check a bag last time and me screwed. So I packed this carry-on thinking that it would go smooth.
Why you? Seem to forget something I left in my bag and now it's in the trash and I'm already so late.
TSA keeps taking my shit
every time I stand in line.
I'm going through the motions. Did she just take my lotion?
Oh no.
TSA keeps taking my shit. I need stop me. I'm feeling real violated. She keeps touching.
dignity like.
Why, oh why do I even try? Ooh, I don't like it.
And it took my sunscreen, and then it took my lotions, and it took my bad cologne, girl. I'm like, Lord, like. They took all types of stuff. Like, I'm going through the motions. Bitch, touching a little bit. What's gonna happen? What's the lotion gonna take off the plane? I mean, they took my cowgirl away. I looked at the black girl for some sympathy. Not the edge control, sis. Not the shea batter. Think of your mother. Think of your sister. Think of your daughter. No, not the cocoa butter.
WHIV 102.3 FM.
Everybody wants somebody they could kick it with. At school, hanging where the weekend. Down for the cost of the bitter end.
All alone in the corner, peanut butter sandwich crust cut off, perfect at corners. Oh boy, shall I offer my perspective for future sons and daughters on the subject of friendship? How to stay away from monsters? Maybe I should start a club where folk in need of love can stop by for conversation, hugs, advice, or how to get by. When you're low on human glow, just know that we'll be nearby. Case you didn't know, this for those no need to reply.
When I was running into something, running from myself and fronting like I needed no one else, I was good about myself. All the friends I thought I knew had left, clinging to my past, but who I was before it was never meant to last.
Everybody wants somebody they could kick it with. At the school, hanging where the weekend. Down for the cost of the bitter end.
Trust me, everybody need a good friend. I've got bingo. I've got bingo.
Go deeper than features. I call you my sister and mean it. The blacker, the berry, the sweeter, the stronger, the friendship. I'll be there. Remember the seasons, the whole world seemed flat. You show me it's round full of color, and now I know where to go back. We grew up, so many people around, but you the only one who ever held me down. Let me use your Netflix, chill and sleep on your couch. If I could write you a song, you're probably hearing it now.
When I was running into something, running from myself to nothing. When I needed someone else, you were there and never left. And all the times we got ahead of us, way better than our past. Cause who we was before was never meant to last.
Everybody wants somebody they could kick it with. At the school, hanging where the weekend. Down for the cost to the bitter end.
Trust me, everybody need a good friend. I
own school, you're playing Jack. All alone, eating Apple Jack. Knick-knack, paddywhack. Nick is mean and petty whack. Guess I'm on the jungle gym. Missing out with no friends. School is in, no friends. After school, no friends. Myself and I think I should start a new trend. A club where all the loners go to pretend that we are friends. After that, we walk in home and contemplate how life is. Lonely as a mug, got me looking at my past.
What happened to that?
He was super whack, laid back on Prozac. Never liked me as I was, but I couldn't change that.
But Lisa?
She's a sleeper, she's sleeping on her goals, sleeping on ambition, sleeping on her future. Okay. Shall I go on?
Well, Mike?
What about Mike? Well, he was alright, but it was never quite right. You know, friendships happen instantly. Your age like a fine wine. My thing is cosmic energy.
Jeez, you so picky.
You're right, cause finding good ones is tricky. I need the kind to stick with me.
Light a fire, come sit with me.
I know, I get needy, I get clingy, I get singy. I like to sing the chingy, so loud the neighbors can hear me. You feel me?
Not really. Do you get bored easily?
I got an ADD thing. I can't sit straight. My focus kinda swing. I'll forget something you just said to me.
Oh, what?
I'm also loyal. I'm sweet. I'm considerate and humble. Real down to earth. I got morals. I'm chill. You can smoke. I won't judge. We can argue. No grudge. I hold on tight. It's all love. I wrote a song about friends.
You wrote a song about friends?
I wrote a song about friends. About you. About us.
Friends. How many of us got them? Friends, how many of us got them?